Welcome to Don't Talk to Strangers, a true crime podcast. We are your hosts, Hannah Elizabeth
and Kate Mitchell. This is a place where you can find true crime tales, morbid mysteries and all things spooky.
We are two Scousers with a true crime and red wine passion. Expect wine reviews, Scouse banter and much more.
Our podcast does include graphic content and explicit language. Discretion is advised.
So grab a bevy, it's about to get heavy. I'm Hannah Elizabeth.
And I'm Kate Mitchell.
And welcome to Don't Talk to Strangers.
Yay!
We did didn't it fuck right. it up
this time.
We actually got it right this time.
I know.
After 10 episodes.
Oh my god, 10.
We are on double figures.
Yes, we are indeed.
We've got a good load of poddies there.
I know, and you've had 10 weeks of us chatting in your ears. Yeah, chatting shit really, but also discussing some interesting and heavy cases. So thank you for the support. I know we keep saying it, but we love it.
We love doing it, don't we?
We're international. We've got thousands of listeners. We've got Patreon subscribers.
Crazy.
We've been in the charts. We've been in the papers.
We've like been at top of the pop.
I know. We're loving it. So honestly, thank you so much. And if you're new here, welcome.
Hello.
We are bringing you weekly true crime and red wine tales.
And yeah, please, if you haven't already, listen back. Feel free to listen back to our other episodes.
Yeah, and also we do get better. But also I've got to comment the sound.
Oh my god, the sound.
Right, this is hard. This editing stuff is hard. This recording thing is hard. So yeah. I'm getting there. I think I've figured out certain things, like mics might not have been plugged in properly.
sometimes my voice is dead loud, and then sometimes
it's too quiet. Yeah, and I'm trying to find the balance. So,
and if you're in the car driving, which is when I listen to podcasts, sometimes if you're on the motorway or whatever,
yeah,
it can be low.
Mm. You have to turn it right up, and then people have said the advert's deafening when they come on. And
or, yeah, so might be the odd thing that deafens you, like.
Yeah, so we are trying. Bear with us, we are hopefully improving every week bar last week.
Still got a sniffly nose, so excuse me sniffing.
That is fine, hon. But yeah, thank you for the support. We love yous, and I think we should just get straight into it. So
what wine are we on tonight?
So
Kate,
we are
the wine.
On Casiero del Diablo.
Yeah, that is
wine from the devil's cellar.
Yeah. Sounds that part.
I know. So, what was the question?
What wine?
So this is a Merlot.
Good.
It was £7 from the Asda.
Mm. The go-to.
Yeah. I like this wine anyway. I've had it a few times. Have you had this one before?
No, I don't think I have. You know, I've definitely seen it on the advert. Yeah. Like sponsors something.
Yeah, I can't even think what it is, but it's wine from the devil's cellar.
Yeah.
Well, it's a smooth, medium-bodied Merlot. It's got plum and red berry flavours, smoky cedarwood aromas. Mm-hmm. Well, all that. I can't actually see on the bottle what food it pairs with, though. I don't know if anyone even pays attention to this part of the podcast, to be honest.
No, I love it.
So, yeah. So, Casiero del Diablo. We've not kept up with rating properly, but I'd give it a good 6. Maybe a 6.5. I quite like it.
We're
goes down well.
The red.
Yeah, oh shit, yeah.
Jan's over.
And Hannah's having a bevy.
I am having a bevy.
Because it's going to get heavy.
It is going to get heavy. I mean, January was the driest Jan I've ever had, so.
And you did it?
I did it.
To be fair, I was quite shocked when she said, I'm doing dry Jan. I was like, okay, hon.
I literally, I did have like one glass at a meal, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but then. That's fine. Well, that's really good. And you're off the ciggies.
Yeah.
More or less.
On the vape.
On the vape. But she's lunging about 15 a day, which isn't good.
I'm lunging the vapes. And to be honest, they make me feel sick after a while, so I don't know what's better. But I'm just going to have
none is the best, but you're cutting down, which is the main thing, yeah?
That's the one, yeah.
Fab. Well, I think that is all the business out the way.
Okay, so I'm going to be telling the case today, and I feel like it's a bit relevant at the minute because, I don't know if you've heard of this one, Kate, but... Sorry, sniffing. This is the real life Scream murder, and the Scream is on the cinema, and I feel like the shit is horrifying because I have still not been the pictures to see it. And
you're letting the side down.
Horror is my favourite, and classic horror is definitely my favourite. Like, I love the Scream movies, Courtney Cox, everyone is back in it.
So it's like original cast?
Yeah, the original cast. So I just need to get to the pictures, but I just haven't had the time. And I actually feel like I might have to go on my own like a big gimp and sit there and watch it.
Oh, I'll go with you, hon. We'll have a little date. We'll have a date.
I need to go. Please.
I love the cinema and I've not been for literally years.
Well, I went to see James Bond, but apart from that, I haven't been for years. But I feel like I need to see this film. It'll be bossing the pictures as well.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
But anyway, yeah.
So this is the real life screen. So,
and it's a bit relevant as well, just because I thought it was a good time to do it because it's back on the pictures.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, I love that. We're sticking to themes. I love that.
So, yeah, when I heard of this case, it did blow my mind. This is about two little twats, basically.
Okay.
Who thought they were funny. And yeah, I'm going to get into like a tiny bit of the background and start off the case.
Okay, let's get going. Grab a bevy.
It's about to get heavy.
For fuck's sake.
Why did I do this? Grab a bevy. It's
about to get heavy. Wee.
Okay, so this case took place in 2006 in Pocatello, Idaho in America.
Okay.
So this town was like a nice little town. Nothing really, you know, there weren't like a big crime thing going on there. It had a nice little community and nothing really like this, what I'm about to tell you, was heard of in this town. So Cassie Jo Stoddart was a 16-year-old girl. She lived in this little town and went to school here. She was gorgeous. She had this long, beautiful brown hair. She was a straight-A student, she was dead creative, she loved sport, she loved playing footy, all that kind of thing.
Always the all-rounded person, isn't
all-rounded. It? All-rounded.
Because I'm going to assume she's the victim here.
Yeah, she's the victim. She was an all-rounder, everyone had amazing things to say about her. She was a really, really pretty girl, and at the time, she had a boyfriend called Matt Beckham.
Okay.
Her and Matt had been together for about 5 months. Now, Matt had two, like, best mates, who Cassie also called friends. So they did sometimes hang around together in, like, a group and, like, go out together or chill, whatever, that kind of thing. So, Tori Adam, this bit of his name, Tori Adam Chick.
Okay.
His name. So, Tori and Brian Draper. Okay. These were the two mates.
Tori and Brian.
That's so like Tori.
Tori, it's such an American name.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Tori.
Tori. So, Brian Draper was adopted. He actually had a crush on Cassie, even though it was his mate's beard. But she wasn't into him, and obviously she was with Matt.
Okay.
And it actually came out later on that Tori also had a crush on her.
Right.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of jealousy going on.
Maybe. And she obviously didn't want to know them in that way. She was with Matt.
Right.
But she was gorgeous, you know. They all had a thing for her. Brian felt like an outcast in his school. And his absolute BFF was Tori.
Okay.
So them two were like always together.
Thick as thieves.
Yeah, and then Matt was kind of like the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But them two were like a double act. So the thing about these two lads is they just proper loved movies. They called themselves film critics. And actually referred to themselves as Randy from Scream. Do you know the one that loved all the movies?
Yeah.
Like the film geek. The favourite movie genre was horror.
Duh.
Same horn. And yeah, basically, they were a little bit nerdy. People from the school said, you know, they kind of ran around school all day with a video camera and they would like record everyone and they'd interview people.
Yeah.
And they were like movie nerds. All they went on about was films and blah, blah, blah. That's what they did in their spare time. So the favourite horror films were the Scream movies.
Right.
And actually, talking about people loving horror films, this is obviously like a big debate people will have. Obviously not me, because I love horror films myself.
I was going to say, you've related to these boys like a bit too much, but, so already.
But you know when people say, well, do horror films create psychos? Like, watching horror films, does that make you get fucked up thoughts? Well, no.
No, I don't believe so. At all.
A very interesting little quote, which is actually from Billy Loomis from the Scream movies, Scream 1. He actually says in Scream, "Sid, don't blame the movies. Movies don't create psychos. Movies make psychos more creative."
Nail on the absolute head.
Yes!
And it gives them inspiration.
Inspiration. Yeah, it doesn't create them. They're already creative.
You've already got a screw loose.
They've already got it there. So actually, I love that because that is so... That is exactly what happens in this
case. And
it's
the same, like... What you can say that about, like, porn makes people... And I understand it can exaggerate if you've got, like, a deviant sexual thing in your head and you see that and you want to act it out.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, it's a problem, but it doesn't create that.
No, it doesn't like create the issue. A normal person that doesn't have that can watch horror movies and love them.
Yeah, and won't turn to kill
or
someone.
Or porn or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's exactly what happened in this case, and I love that we can get a quote from the Scream.
We love that.
So, Tori and Brian had this idea that they wanted to make a movie and they wanted to make a horror movie exactly like Scream, which is, you know, that's fair enough, great. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
But they both decided together, they actually made a pact and both decided together that they also wanted to start killing people together.
Oh, lovely.
What the fuck? So,
like, what chat? Like, how does it get to that?
I was just going to say, I don't know what chat, how does this chat come up? But I think they were that kind of in this horror movie world. They weren't in reality. They were so wrapped up in it. They thought it was sick. They thought it was cool. Like
it's all well and good being a creative and going, right, I want to create films.
Yeah.
I want to be a director. I imagine a lot of people have those dreams and aspirations to go to uni.
To make a sick horror film, you need to have sick ideas to make your horror film.
But then there's also things called corn syrup, which is what they use for blood.
Yeah,
there's also acting and actors that will happily pretend to be dead. You don't have to fucking
Example, Quentin Tarantino is unreal.
Exactly.
Filmmaker.
Exactly.
And when he made, like, Hostel.
Exactly.
He must have had some...
Did he do Hostel?
Yeah.
Tarantino?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Wow.
And
I didn't know that, because that's not his style.
He must have had, you know, to think of that and think of them different things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you've got to be...
Sort of film, you've got to have these sick ideas. But they decided they wanted to start killing people, and they actually then put two and two together and thought, well, we'll make a real horror film like Scream and we'll kill people.
What a great idea, guys.
Where they'd watched all these horror films, they thought they were, like, invincible, and they thought they were going to get away with everything. They thought they were, like, experts on killing people.
Because they've seen it,
Yeah. So Brian suggested doing, like, a mass murder. He was obsessed with, like, a certain shooting that had gone on in America, and he was...
Was it Columbine, by any chance?
I'm not sure. It was just, like, one of them big American shootings.
Yeah.
And he wanted to do a big mass murder, but Tori wanted to make it more...
Reach for the star, guys. Like, fucking aim high. Bloody hell.
But Tori, see, these two, even though they were besties, they were always arguing and, like, bickering.
Mm.
I think they kind of did each other's heading and wanted to, like, outdo each other. But Tori wanted to make it much more personal, like Scream, like a one-on-one. They loved the idea of really tormenting someone like Scream before the death. So, you know, like, the fright...
These poor boys.
Doing anything they can to build up the fear and all that kind of thing before.
Well, that's the whole suspense thing of a horror film.
Yeah.
Like, obviously mass murder's like, but the films where it is just one person tormenting someone, and it's just, what's the word, like, it just intensifies the whole, like, experience, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So he's going, no, I want to do it this way, and the other one just wants to fucking kill everyone. It's absolutely
And they wanted
bizarre.
To do it, like, proper... They both decided on that, so they would, you know, wear a mask, torment, all that kind of thing. So other people in the school had said, you know, that's what they were always doing, is having the camera out, even in the classroom. Everyone knew in school that they did want to make a horror movie and write a script. It was a well-known fact. And they'd actually set the camera up in class where anyone around them could hear. And they would talk about how they were going to do murders. But if anyone would question them, they would just say, well, we're talking about the horror movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But they would actually do it with everyone here and talking about, like, killing people. But no one, everyone just thought they were, like, geeks and they were making a horror movie.
Obviously, though, for not one minute, if you're sat in your 16 in a classroom, you're not going to think they're being legit.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
So they genuinely thought, oh, these are just geeks, like, they're making the horror movie. So people didn't really get onto that it was a real murder thing, you know?
Like a plot.
A plot. So, end of August 2006, Tori rang up his mate who was older than them, he was 18, and he asked him could he go to a pawn shop for him if he gave him the money and get some knives. Now, Tori was known that he did have a collection of knives, and people in school knew this.
Mm-hmm.
So the three of them, in Brian and this older mate, friend. Three of them went to a pawn shop and bought... Oh, my God, I've just shit myself. What was that?
I flicked a bobble.
No, I just...
By mistake.
The corner of my head flying.
I didn't want to distract you, but the bobble went flying.
The sorry, guys. The back of the window was like the screen mask going past. So, yeah, the three of them went to the pawn shop and bought four knives.
Oh, for God's sake.
So, here I'm going to be reading you quite a lot of kind of script.
Like transcript.
Transcript from... their videos.
Right, okay.
And you can actually watch, by the way, these videos online. And there is documentary on YouTube and you can watch these videos. So, September 21st, 2006, the two boys are in the car, driving around and filming themselves with the video recorder. And here is some of the things he said.
Mm-hmm.
So, Brian said, we're going in for the high death count. And Tori says, plus, Brian, we're not going to get caught. If we're going for guns, we're just going to end it, grab the guns and kill everyone and leave. Brian said, we are going to make history. Tori said, for all you FBI agents watching this, you weren't quick enough and you weren't smart enough. They also started talking to the tape about how they knew that one of their classmates, and it wasn't Cassie, it was another girl, how they were going to snoop over to her house because they knew that she was going to be home alone for an hour. So they were going to snoop over and splat her dead. That was in their words.
Like splat? That's such a child that word.
Is. Yeah, and when you
it
watch...
It shows the age.
When you watch these tapes, you will cringe. Like,
and be like, oh my God, dude, yeah, we're like, splatter dead.
Yeah, like, you're sick. We're going to go down in history, dude. You know, where you just like, mate, shut up.
I can imagine, gimp,
like
yeah.
A proper gimp.
Sit down, mate.
Yeah, they're just proper annoying.
Yeah.
So September 21st, so this was actually a few days before the murder, they were making a lot of videos talking to the camera.
Okay.
So they did a video imitating Billy Loomis from the Scream movies. They talked about how killing people is only wrong because it's against the law and we should, you know, have the right to be able to kill people.
Lovely.
Basically, they're a pair of gimps and they think that they're funny.
Yeah.
There's another video from the same night filmed in the car. Basically them being stupid, talking to the camera. Brian is now saying how they are going to go over to Cassie and Matt's house if they were home alone. So if there's no like parents in, we are going to, but Tori butted in. And he said, listen, and this is where they would get annoyed with each other. He said, it's Cassie's house, Matt's just going to be round there. And he gets annoyed with them all the time and they actually always start arguing on the video. Brian said, sorry, Matt. No, sorry, Matt is there. But, well, we are going to Cassie's house, and if they're home alone, and we're going to see if the parents are there or not. If not, we will leave. Then we'll come back in about 10 minutes. We'll sneak back in through the front door, because chances are they'll be sitting in Cassie's room. We'll make a noise outside so that Matt comes out to investigate. We will kill him and then we will scare the shit out of Cassie, okay? Sounds like fun. And then they said, stay tuned to the camera. So this was all their little plans. Now, bearing in mind, Matt is like their absolute best
BFF,
mate.
BFF, I was going to say.
They hang around with.
Yeah.
And they're plotting to kill him.
Right, question. Do you have any information on their past?
Not really. All I know is that Brian was, all I know about him was that he was adopted.
I suppose he probably had to keep a lot of it because they were minors.
Tori's mum and dad, I think, you know, he just literally lived at home with his mum and dad. They were still together. I don't know anything really about his background.
Because that's just bizarre. Like, I get it being wrapped up in, like, a fantasy land, but...
Yeah,
it's,
I know.
It's just, like, people do that. Creatives plot things, but for to create art. They go, right, this is our idea. We'll do this, this, and this. But they don't kill people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, how has it gone from...
And like I said, honestly, when I was growing up, I was proper... I was obsessed with horror films, and I was obsessed with films in general. Like, I really was, like, a film geek. But never would you think to take it like this. This is crazy.
And next level. That's why I asked friends. About... But that's why I asked about... Because obviously you're a well-balanced person.
Yeah.
Ish.
Ish, yeah.
Yes. No, but you know what I mean? Like, obviously, I love films, I love horror, I love gore.
Yeah.
But I'm also normal.
How you get them together as well.
Exactly, how these two fucking weirdos meet, it's bizarre.
So obviously the plot in a way, and all of this is recorded.
Right. Well, that's clever, but go on.
I know. But this is what I mean, they thought they were that, like, invincible.
Yeah. And they are making a movie, so it does need to be recorded, to be fair.
So a little while later, on the same night after making that video, they start the camera back rolling again, and they said, that's it, we found our victim. And the sad thing is, she's our friend. And so earlier they said they were going to kill Matt, but scared the shit out of Cassie.
Yeah.
And what they... Sorry, I'm just going to butt in on myself.
You apologise to yourself.
What they wanted to do was, when they said, we're going to kind of make noises so that Matt comes out to investigate, they wanted, like, on the screen movie, so they think it's gonna go exactly like horror movie where someone's in the garden making a noise and they come down like, hello, is anyone there? Like, they think,
and
it's
then he's dead in the garden, like, on the
and
chair,
then she comes down and it's like, ah!
Yeah,
like, this is how they think it's gonna go. Do you get me?
I'm picturing that scene.
Yeah, me too, literally. So they think that they're gonna kill Matt, but a little while later they come back on and they've changed the plan.
Okay.
So we have found our victim, and the sad thing is, she's our friend. They actually say this, they're fucked up. We all have to make sacrifices, and our first victim will be our friend, Cassie Jo Stoddart. So they actually say this. He says, we'll find out if she's got friends over, or if she's going to be alone in that big dark house on her own. And he laughs and says, how perfect can you get? Tori replies on video, I'm horny just thinking about it.
Right, stop.
Right, I know.
You are 16.
I know.
Calm yourself.
Psychos. Brian says, hell yeah, we're going to fucking kill her. And I've got some news. Another girl, Jane, is going to... So this must be another girl.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to be home alone from 6 to 7. So we might even drive over there and kill her first, then drive over to Cassie's. So they are literally planning these murders on film.
Wow.
Tori says, what, we're going to do it one by one. Why can't it be a slaughterhouse? But it's like, what do you mean, do a slaughterhouse that they're going to be in on their own?
Yeah, you need a house to have a house full of people to slaughter.
The tapes don't even make sense. Yeah. They're just dickheads, honestly.
Yeah, they're just rambling by the sounds of it.
It's
just
so cringy. You actually need to see the videos. So the pair of them are messing about, bickering, and start arguing a lot as per usual on these videos. They talk about how evil and bad they both are, but they're basically just gimps, do you know what I mean?
No, but they are monsters at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, of course, course. But they just think they're
sick. Yeah, it's the fact of how cool they think they are makes so you think, shut up, like, pipe the fuck down.
They also say, we are sick psychopaths who get pleasure out of killing people. So they badly want to be thought of as these big psychopaths. They base themselves on real-life scary movies. They also, in one of the recordings, they'd referred to the likes of Ted Bundy and the Hillside Stranglers and also Ed Gein and said how they were going to be exactly like them. However, when they were talking about these, they were, like, kind of... They didn't know a thing about any of these real-life
they
murderers.
They just knew names.
They just knew names.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be like Ted Bundy. Yeah,
and
that
and
guy.
And then the other one would go, like, well... What did he do? And they'd be like, I don't know. We're going to be like Ed Gein. Like, they were just throwing these. Yeah, they had no anything about these real life serial killers. It was all just a big horror movie. But anyway, they said they were going to be better than all them. And they also said, you know, but we're going to be better than them because we're not going to get caught. So this is September 22nd, 2006. So this was actually in school. They were sitting in class and they had the camera on the table.
Mm-hmm.
They scan around the room, making sure no one's kind of listening, even though they also always seem to just do it
anyway
in front of everyone. Brian says, hopefully tonight is going to go smoothly and we finally get our first kill done. And then the pair of them are giggling. They also said they've tried to kill around 10 times before, but the victims have never been home alone, so they've never ever gone through with any of the murders.
Wait, can you imagine being that, like, Jen or that other girl mentioned?
Oh, like, oh, she's going to be home tonight.
From between 6 and 7 p.m.
We might just casually drop round on the way.
Can you imagine when all this comes out and you're sat there thinking, fuck me, I was going to be alone. But then something happened.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And then,
whether that's true or not, it could potentially be that 10 other people, you know, if they could have been victims, you know, before Cassie. Yeah. If this is true, you know, whether, I don't know if they're being dramatic or not, but, jeez.
I know. Brian looks into the camera and he says, as long as you're patient, now we've been patient and we're now getting paid off because our victim is going to be home alone. They are obsessed with this home alone. She's going to be home alone and we finally got her. He said, oh, by the way, this is sickening. He looks into the camera and he says, sorry, Cassie's family, but she has to be the one. She has to die. And they both laugh and switch the camera off. This is in the middle of school, in the class, they're recording this.
Teachers, like, be more alert.
Like, what the
Jesus.
Fuck? And you know what? Imagine being the family then.
Well, I was going to say, I have a feeling, I mean, I don't know if you're going to confirm this, but normally, if this is going to trial, things like that get shown in the trials.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes a family go through more than what they've even gone through in the trial, hearing about the evidence.
I know. Can you imagine hearing these two little dickheads, like, planning to kill?
I mean, I don't know the outcome here, but I hope to God that her family didn't have to bloody listen back to them.
Can you imagine, like, oh my God.
Like, reliving it over again with an audience. Jeez.
Oh my God. So, that same day or evening, after school, Cassie had planned to house sit for her auntie and uncle. They had a big house they owned in a place called Whispering Cliffs, which is, I think that was the name of, like, their house, or it was in
the area. It might be the area. But isn't that such, like, a, I feel like that's a typical, like, horror film, Whispering Cliffs.
Yeah, and what was the scream time? Was it Woodsboro? Or something, I don't know, it just reminded me of Whispering Cliffs. Spooky name for this
horrible story
to go down. So the aunt and uncle were going away for a few days. They had a few animals and a few dogs, so they needed feeding and walking. She'd also asked, because she was a dead nice girl, she was dead, like, good, you know. Never,
trustworthy.
Yeah, really trustworthy. She'd also asked if Matt, a fella, could come over for it and watch movies. Like, they knew Matt, and they were like, yeah, that's fine, of course you can. So Matt come over, and that night after school, they're in the house. It's around 6:30, and they're chilling, watching movies. And guess who shows up? Tori and Brian. Matt's mate.
Why?
Show up at the house without asking. But they were Matt's mates.
Yeah,
so
I suppose it looks like they've jumped on an opportunity to, like, chill in someone's house.
Right,
like.
So they've turned up and they've said, oh, thought this was a party, but they'd never ever, no one had ever planned a party. So Cassie said, like, no, this isn't a party, we're just chilling, like, I'm house sitting. They'd apparently invited other people to come to make a party because they wanted it to be, like, on screen when they're having that party.
Yeah.
But no one else had showed up, so it was just the four of them. Cassie was a bit pissed off, like, chilling with the fella, and then, you know, what are you doing? But they ended up putting one of the Kill Bill movies on. After about a couple of hours, Brian and Tori both said they were bored, and instead, they would rather leave and go to the cinema to watch a film. weird.
I was going to say, are they watching films?
Yeah.
They're just trying to find excuses. They're like, hey, we're going to catch a movie. We're going to
catch a movie, yeah. So they left the house. They drive a little along the road before stopping and changing into all black clothing they had in the car and, like, black Converse they put on.
I'm scared.
They also had bought these masks. Now, these masks were proper scary looking. They were, like, white masks with all blood all over them and, like, coming from the eyes, bleeding.
Wait, they didn't use the scream mask?
No, they didn't
use the scream mask. At least use the fucking scream mask.
No.
I mean, I'm not laughing, you know. It's awful, but fucking hell. These masks
were scary. You can look at a picture of them.
We'll post it.
These masks were horrible, so imagine seeing that coming.
You don't need to tell me to imagine. My imagination of what she's about to go through.
All black clothing, a white mask with all blood coming from the eyes. So they've gone to the car, put this on. They each took a knife with them and drove back right near the house and parked up and obviously got the camera out again. They say it's about 9 p.m. and unfortunately, we have now got the task of killing our two friends who are home alone in the house just down the street. Brian says, we've checked out the house that has loads of doors and loads of places to hide. I already unlocked the back door, it's all unlocked. We just gotta wait now, we're nervous but we're ready. So what has happened was, while they were watching the movie, one of them had said he was going the loo, went down and unlocked all the doors.
Trust no one,
oh
guys.
Oh my God, I trust fucking no one. Can you imagine that?
No, that is terrifying.
I know.
Because even she must have, maybe she probably didn't feel scared in the house because obviously she knew it. She knew it well, it was the family's house. Yeah. But like, in ours, I'm still like, ugh. Do you know what I mean? So a man knowing someone had been round unlocking door. Oh, vile.
I know, but he proper planned it. So they walk over to the house and they walk to the basement door, which was unlocked. They tried to make a lot of noise.
Oh, to get Matt.
In the basement to lure Matt down to investigate. They started throwing things on the floor and banging things about. Now, Matt and Casey were upstairs in the living room and they were freaking out.
I can imagine.
The dog started barking and stuff, but they actually didn't go down to investigate. They just kind of sat on the couch. Aww. Now, all of a sudden, they're sitting on the couch. Now, all the power in the whole house goes off because Brian...
Vomit.
Yeah, Brian Vomit. And Tori cut the power in the basement.
No, thank you.
So Matt said Casey was, like, super freaked out. He was. But suddenly, some of the lights go back on. One of the dogs was proper going mad. It was looking at the basement door and circling. So what Matt does, like, you've got to remember, he had these at 16. Matt calls his mum and explains how freaked out Casey is. He said, she's proper scared, she's going mad. And he says, can she stay over?
Yeah, right.
And the mum says no.
No!
And the mum says, and on that note, I'm coming to get you now. So,
wait.
Yeah.
But what will that do? That'll just leave her alone, even more scared.
I mean, that mum now must feel...
I mean, you can't blame her, but...
The mum did say, so, because they're only young, the mum, she obviously didn't want them kind of both unsupervised in this house. So she says, you're not staying there, but ask Casey, does she want to stay in ours? She can come back and stay with us.
Okay.
But Casey, being like a good person she is, she said, no, I've promised my auntie and uncle that I'm going to stay over with the dogs and the house.
God.
She was just trying to be good. So, although a lot of people might find this mad that your fella might just leave, he was only 16. His mum said, on this note, I am coming to pick you up because I'm not having you there, you know? So... they're still in the basement. The mum comes and...
Stop.
Yeah, the mum comes...
He gets picked up.
And picks him up and leaves her there in this fucking house. But she's obviously...
I'm off. I would be like...
I think it must have been one of them where they've heard a noise. they've heard all this banger, the lights have gone off, the lights, and then they must have, like,
calmed down.
Oh, it's all right. Yeah, like, it was just probably next door, outside. And yeah, it's just,
it's
next
just
door,
the fault with the...
Do you know what I mean?
With the lights, yeah.
One of them, it's all locked up, it's fine. He's gone. I mean, fuck me. You know, but he's gone. And he is only a kid.
In a way, thank God.
Yeah.
So that there isn't two victims.
Course,
well,
course.
I thought there was going to be, but it's now, you know, semi-happy ending, I suppose.
But get on this. So he actually leaves, and when he leaves, he calls Tori, who is his mate, who is
in the
basement.
Fucking basement. Wow.
But she doesn't hear none of this because this is a big house. He calls Tori just to chat, I suppose, it's his mate. And he says that he explains that Cassie... what are you doing, lad? Oh, not, and I'm just on my way. And what are you doing? Well, because I think that I can't remember what day it was, a Friday, it was a weekend day.
Yeah.
So he was probably like, well, what are you doing?
Yeah, like,
I've just
still...
left Cassie. She's like in the house on her own. So he's given them now the green light without knowing. So when all this kind
that
of
poor fella.
I mean, a lot of people think Matt had something to do with it because he gave them the green light, and it could look like...
Yeah, from a first look, day. But then obviously, the investigating, you're giving me information that obviously someone's found, which obviously then proves that he wasn't involved, but I could see why from the beginning, absolutely.
So, all of a sudden, she's left in the house with the dogs, the lights go again, completely...
That is, like, my worst fear of life, you know.
This is horrible.
I'm scared in the dark as it is.
And you know what this reminds me of? Have you seen the film The Strangers?
Yep.
Yeah, it reminds me of that. Hey, that was a real-life case, you know?
No, I know. What's the thing at the door? Is blah, blah, home?
Yeah,
what's
her
name?
Oh, it's horrible, isn't it? With the like, bag on
the
banging
on the door, and they're like, it's not Sandra, but it's like, is Sandra home?
Yeah.
No, what did they say? I need to know. Anyway, carry on.
That film, I actually think that film's boss.
It's sick.
Scary.
I remember people were like, it's shit. I was
it's
like, no.
Not. Is it Liv Tyler in it?
Yeah. It's the most intense.
And it's real.
And but that's what scares me more, is that not really happens.
People,
it's all just like...
tormenting them. That's what they were doing.
That's what I was saying. Like, those
all
films
the outside,
are the worst.
And,
yeah.
Like,
where
they
there's
were
music.
In the house behind her.
Yeah, they're the ones that scare me more than just someone coming in slashing everybody up.
Yeah.
That's still heavy.
We
but...
need to cover that case because that is mad. I want to do that. I loved that film. Yeah, anyway, so that's what it reminded me of. So she's sitting in the living room and
the
lights are gone.
Fuck me.
They're still hovering in the basement, hoping, like, on their perfect screen movie, she's going to come down like, hello, is anyone there?
Yeah.
But after a while, they decide they're going to go up there. So imagine this. They both stomp up the stairs loud as they can. Imagine sitting in this room.
And hearing that.
Two people stomping up. So they come into the living room where she's sitting with the mask on. With the black clothing.
The terror. The absolute terror of
holding
that situation.
The knives.
No.
And basically, they get to the top, they start slamming doors, and they're in the living room, and Tori actually started it first. They just started stabbing her. They both started stabbing her loads and loads of times, and when... did the autopsy, they said she was stabbed between 28 to 30 times. Two different knives were used, and 12 of them stab wounds were considered to be fatal. So one knife had a serrated,
so it's like a jagged edge,
and that one had caused most of the fatal wounds, but they did both kill her.
Yeah.
So she was left on the floor to die, and they left.
Wow.
They got in the car, and as soon as they got in the car, they get the camera out and they start recording.
Wait, they didn't record the actual killing?
No.
I'm sorry, what's the fucking point?
I know.
Sorry, I know I'm not agreeing with them, but like, if you're going to make a movie, you need to record the whole main point of the horror movie is killing someone.
I know.
What?
So, you can watch these videos and... They're like, Brian's like, oh my god.
I can see the adrenaline.
He said, I just killed Cassie. I've just stabbed her in the throat, like, and he's all, like, got this excitement in his voice. We've just left the house. That didn't fucking feel real. And Tori says, and Tori changes his tune now straight away, and he goes, shut the fuck up. We need to get our act straight. And then the camera goes off. It's like all of a sudden Tori's
he's realised,
like, shit, like, this shit, what's happened?
Wow.
So they end up going back to Tori's for a bit. They pack up everything to do with the murder, the costumes, the knives. They dose everything up with gasoline. And also the videotapes. So I don't get it, because why were they making the movie if they were just going
to... I think, though, in the mind, they've known, like, as much as he was coming out with all the adrenaline and being like, we're never going to get caught, like, they obviously got... They've just recorded the whole thing from start to finish.
Yeah.
They're going to get caught, so they need to get rid of it. Do you know what I mean? So I think there's an element of, like, shit. Obviously, that Tory guy is onto it more, being like, whoa, 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 stop talking.
Yeah.
But fucking Brian. It's always Brian's.
Brian. I know.
Oh, Brian.
Brian's, like, stupid. Well, they're both stupid, but this Brian, you know what I mean?
Brian's, like, stupid.
Hey, you know what's funny? Where I was typing my notes up, every time I'd put Brian, it would correct it to Brian Blackwell. By the way, it must be, like, a... Because I typed it up before. Like, even on Ian, it says he was very upset, Big Blackwell. But I just know that one.
Oh, Big Blackwell.
So they packed up everything to do with the murder, the tapes, and they took them, they drove them to the Black Rock Canyon area and tried to burn it all. But I don't think they really...
Did a good job
of burning it. They buried it. And then they went back to Tori's house and watched the movie.
Oh, standard, you know.
Yeah. They did initially plan on killing... Do you remember? They were going to kill that other girl night, but that kind of went out the window.
I think secretly they realised and being like, shit, let's go... Like, what were they doing? Were they celebrating? No, they were sat in silence, probably not even paying attention to the movie, fuck, what have we just done? I mean... They might not have. They might have just been like, what, ha-ha.
Yeah.
But, Jesus.
Sunday, September 24th, her aunt and uncle, and it was a 13-year-old cousin as well, arrived back to the house, and it was actually the little cousin that found her in the house. So, as well, she'd been dead in the house with the dogs, and the dogs must have been, you know, trying to, you know what dogs are like. They must have been all sad, you know.
Because they will have been onto it.
They will have known. So the 13-year-old cousin found her dead. Immediately the police wanted to talk straight to the boyfriend.
Yeah, it's usually the partner. Yeah, it's always the husband.
And everyone, obviously the auntie and uncle and that, knew that Matt had been there.
Mm.
So it was like, well, she's been with Matt, and where's he?
Yeah.
So... Matt had said, we've been trying to call Cassie ever since he left the house that night to make sure she was okay, and the next day, and hadn't been able to get hold of her. They did check his phone records, and that was true, like, he was ringing her off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get on this. It had also turned out that the next night after the murder, Matt had gone to stay over in Tori's house. Yeah.
So he slept until after it?
The following night.
But that's for me. After, wow.
And he was probably saying, I mean, I don't know, but he was probably saying, like, I've not heard Cassie's all right. Yeah. Like, she was scared last night, and this little prick has known. You know, imagine that. That's your best mate.
Jeez.
Spit
me nail. In stress.
Yeah. So, that night, when he'd stayed over in Tori's, he'd said, could you do me a favour, Tori? Could you give me a lift round to the house so I can check on Cassie? Because I haven't heard from her. And Tori said, no, I can't. I haven't got enough petty, basically. Like, I'm not taking you there. Can you believe that?
Because he knew that she was fucking lying dead in a pool of her own blood.
Matt was worrying. Because he knew, like, shit, that was all going on. I haven't heard from her.
It's so mad that, like, Matt's so oblivious. But, like, rightly so. Right, why would he think anything sinister's happened?
But, and as well, he's young. And he's young, And all, like I said, all the family had known was that Matt was there. Now, when the police was talking to Matt and stuff, asking about the night, they'd found out that Brian and Tori had been round that night watching a movie, so they also wanted to get them.
They need questioning.
In for questioning. And their stories did start, they were fishy, because it was like, yeah, we went round there to watch a movie, And then we left and went to the cinema.
Yeah, exactly. Why the fuck would you go to the cinema?
So then they were like, well, what movie did you watch at the cinema? Like, tell us about the movie. They were like, I can't remember. But this was 2 days ago. So they were like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
like,
you remember.
Where's your ticket stump?
Also, where's your receipt?
Yeah, one of the girls in their year had worked at the movie theatre and said, like, they had not been in there. Like, they weren't.
It's all coming together.
It's all coming together. So then Brian was then called back in for another interview and he went in with his mum. The same story again, they kept pressing, well, tell me about this movie you're seeing, and he just couldn't give anything about this movie. They also had asked him, like, how do you feel about your friend dying? And he said, you know, I'm very upset about Cassie dying. They started questioning classmates and stuff in school. And everyone was kind of pointing in their direction, saying, like, them two had a pair of weirdos that are obsessed with murder, that are obsessed with horror movies, and telling how they film everything, and how obsessed they were with the Scream movies. One kid, now this gives you goosebumps, one kid had actually said they had heard Cassie talking to Tori and Brian, saying, this was just at one point, oh, when you make your horror movie, I want to be in it. I know, babe, I know.
What?
Yeah.
Little did she know.
I know.
That's so sad, because how innocent is that?
I know.
Be like, oh my God, you're making a film, I want to be in it.
I want to be
in it. Oh, bless her.
So, police are now thinking, you know, there's something weird about this. So they call Brian, obviously they were interviewing them separately, but this is Brian again. Now, I think he was more of the one that was crumbling first. Yeah. So they bring him back in and he changes tune. He starts saying, okay, we didn't go to the movies. We actually went and broke into a few cars, but we didn't want to get in trouble, so we didn't admit it.
Yeah.
But the police said that didn't add up because there'd been, like, no reported...
Yeah, it's a small town, there's a little crime rate.
Cars broken into.
Right.
Brian actually ended up admitting that what had happened is he ended up crumbling, basically. He said that they had unlocked the doors and they had this big plot and they wanted to scare them. They said they did have knives with them and they were basically going to play a big prank on Matt and Cassie. He said... He said they were going to play a prank on them. And what happened is she ended up alone in the house and Tori was the one who ended up attacking her. And that he shifts the blame. He was never involved.
Yeah.
Now, Tori got interviewed and he also then started saying Brian was
the blame. Well, I was going to say, normally they'll go.
Well, Amy made me do it.
And then, like, the... police officers, they can lie when they're interviewed. Yeah. They can go, well, we've got a full confession. He's blaming it all on you, even if it's the truth. So then he's going to go...
This police officer was, that's what he... Well, not that, but he had, like, a good little thing with... Brian was more really crumbling, So, Brian, you know, he had nothing to do with it. It was all Tory.
It was all him, yeah.
He had also said earlier on today, actually on this day of questioning, Tory's rang me threatening to kill me if I say anything. Now, he said all this crying, so he's really, like, shitting himself.
They always fucking cry. When the realisation hits and they go into big man jail.
That's it. He also said, I'll even show you if you want where we buried the evidence. Now, this for me is mad because the evidence is of them both saying...
Yeah.
How much they're gonna...
He can't even say this is a prank gone wrong because they've openly said, like, we are going to kill them.
And then he said, I'm going to take you to where we've buried the evidence. So he took them to Black Rock Canyon. I think he went there. I think is one of his parents with him. I think his dad. He brought them to the bag that they'd buried and they found, like, matches, boots, clothing.
Wow.
The masks, a large dagger-type knife and a silver and black knife and all the videotapes. They also found the serrated folding knife. They later DNA tested the knife and it had, like, Cassie's blood on it. There was also, in the buried stuff, there was a part, like, you could only read part of it because they burnt a letter. Now, this is a good thing for Matt, because the letter had said the whole plot, and the letter was basically saying that if Matt tried to protect Cassie, they were planning on killing him as well.
So this got him off the hook then, yeah. Essentially. Right, yeah. I'm on you.
So they took him back to the station after finding the evidence, and now the police, like, really tried to, like, play a trick on him here. So they tried the whole look. Tori sounds proper crazy. Like, did you maybe just give her, like, a little stab to stop him from turning on you, like, to please him kind of thing? And he was nodding, so he was going along with it. They were dead clever in how they framed him. He said he did stab her in the leg just to, you know, please
just
Tori.
Yeah, just like, oh, there's a little stab, like, yeah.
But Tori kept saying, you need to stab her, you need to stab her. And then he said, Tori turned around and said, this isn't going to work, she needs to die. September 27th, 2006, they were both arrested and charged with first-degree murder. When they were asked about the tapes, they just said that all that part of it was just a horror film, and it wasn't nothing to do with it. Oh, please.
Snooze.
But it actually happened.
I was
going to
say, so duh, you just outlined your whole plan.
The DNA evidence under their fingernails matched Brian, but not Tori. But I think that could have just been... He might have just been closer, you know what I mean?
There will have been some sort of frantic scramble, and she's just managed to grab him.
And then August 21st, 2007, they both received life in prison without parole, and also 30 years on top of the life for conspiracy of the murder.
Yeah, I was going to say, because conspiracy to murder is a... heavy sentence, and I didn't realise that till I started, like, getting into all this and listening to podcasts, and I never realised, like, just planning someone's murder, you'll get life for, which is the same as killing someone, like, they treat it the same, bizarre,
and this was a
problem. But I get it, I'm not saying it's bizarre, like, it's wrong, I get it, but they're charging them with the murder and conspiracy
and
to commit.
And the conspiracy.
Wow.
So, they're still in there to this day, now. The only thing I know really about Brian is that he apparently, like, openly admits that he regrets what happened now. You know, he says he shows remorse. He says he deserves to be in prison. But, basically, Tori, now you can see this on YouTube, on interviews. There's actually clips you can listen to, and I've listened to some of them. Tori's parents are, like, so in denial that it's a joke. So on all these interviews, right, it's as if when Tori's being questioned, it's as if, like, he looks at the camera as if he wants to say, but his parents butt in every time he tries to speak, and they'll say, like, but of course you wouldn't feel bad because you didn't do anything, right? It was Brian.
And he's like,
he's like, I suppose so. But, like, the look in his eyes, it's like, if they weren't there,
he'd spill, yeah.
But then...
Well, I was going to say, because he was the one that was like, whoa, after it happened, like, shut the fuck up, we need to get our story straight. He probably did have more guilt, and maybe he wasn't as, you know, a participant.
You know, is it... I always get these bits mixed up, but is it the prosecution, or... I don't know.
Yeah, so you've got the prosecution and defence.
So the...
The prosecution is like the state.
So, well, I don't know, but Brian, where Brian said in the tape, if you remember, when he come out, he said, I've just killed Cassie.
Yeah, so that was his, Tory's defence being like,
so they played on that.
So his defence team will have gone, well, hang on, we've got an admission of guilt. He's just said, he didn't say we.
Yeah.
And clever.
Tory didn't stop him either. He just said, well, he said, we need to get our story straight.
But that could have just been because he was stood there watching. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But then...
Clever. Yeah, I mean, he's still a fucked up little arsehole.
So, to this day, I mean, his mum and dad will not let him, like, speak. They butt in on... I don't know why they're even there on all these interviews.
No, you do have to, like... It depends. Well, obviously, different states have different laws because he's underage.
Yeah, but not now.
I don't know.
But, they're just so in denial. I mean, have they not, like... heard all this evidence about the tapes.
But it's Golden Boy. How many times
have you
across this situation where their son can do no wrong, my baby would never.
Yeah.
He's been, you know, they, if you think about it though, to a degree, they've got a bit of a case.
Yeah.
They've got Brian saying, I've just killed her. And then you've got Tori going, whoa, 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 and not, like, admitting it. He could easily go, right, I turned along with the ride. I thought it was a prank. It went wrong. He took it too far. Yeah. And I did do a little stab.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't believe it. I don't believe it for one minute.
So they're actually, you know, they're still in prison now. But,
good. Forever.
Can I just say, I don't actually, you know, earlier we were talking about Cassie's mum and dad saying, did they ever hear these things?
Yeah.
I don't know any information about the mum and dad or the family. All I know is that years later, the cousin who found her did try and attempt suicide. And
such
the aunt, and the auntie whose house it was, she went into, like, a proper deep depression.
Yeah, well, I don't blame her, to be honest.
Tori did try to appeal twice to get out, nah, and they were
no chance, denied. They will not be let out then.
No.
They're too dangerous.
And that is the real life scream murders.
Jesus.
How mad
Mary, Mother and Joseph.
But you need to get a proper sense of these, like, how dickheads they were.
Yeah, they're just fucking stupid little pieces of shit.
Yeah, just quickly YouTube the real life of the boys and listen to their, like, tapes. Because they're just dickheads, like stupid little kids who thought they were going to make this perfect murder and they were never going to get caught.
No.
But really.
And that is why.
You don't talk to strangers.
Or trust your mate.
Your best mate. When you unlock the fucking basement.
I mean, the chance of this happening is very rare, but
and
fucking hell, makes you think.
Best mate, like the poor fella.
It's mad because this is the whole point, but what a movie. Like, what a movie that is. Like, babe, my house sitting, then the fella goes and the lights go off. I know that's what that was the whole point.
Yeah.
But it's just so sad how it played out like that.
Like that.
Yeah, like you can have these fantasies and you can do what the hell you want with your fantasies, but when they go into real life, it's just, ugh. But they're in the big man jail now.
They are.
I mean, I know they're adults now, but I hope that they have a horrendous time.
Me too.
Whilst they're in prison.
Me too.
And they regret that day every single time they open their eyes in the morning.
How scary is that?
Terrifying.
And thinking of their, like, last moment, that was terrifying. Dude,
that's a thing that I hate, because obviously you can't imagine, but you also can try to imagine.
That
it's fear. Like,
oh. I know, and even the thought of it, isn't it, is someone in your house and that whole, what's that noise?
Oh, don't. I think that every fucking day.
Me too, and then that, oh my nose. And then that, like, the mass coming towards you, stomping up the stairs, like, oh, it's horrible.
Honestly.
And to think these were mates.
That's the worst bit. Because, I mean, not that you understand the random, but, like, fine. But not your mates. Not people you trust, not people you would consider, like, anyway.
But,
really
sad.
But well done, that's good.
Thank you, babe.
I like
that
one.
I enjoyed it, and I'm
definitely... I certainly did.
I'm going the pictures to see Scream. You're going to have to come with me.
Okay, it's a date. Well, make sure you follow us on Instagram at Don't Talk to Strangers Podcast.
Yeah.
Make sure you follow us on Twitter, which is at DTTS Poddy. You can email us on don'ttalktostrangerspod@gmail.com. Don't forget, you want those listener tales. We've had a couple.
Oh, yeah.
And we want to make sure
do
we try and build
of these?
Some of them. I don't know when. It might be in a few weeks, few months, whatever. But we do want to do something like that as a little bit different. It may be for our Patreons only.
Ooh.
So if you want to hear them, you can sign up to our
Patreon,
which is at Don't Talk to Strangers, a true crime podcast.
Woo, thank you. And we'll see you for episode 11.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.